You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a privilege to be in studio to answer your questions. As you just mentioned, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, it is a brand new month, and we have some resources available to those who support the ministry this month. One of them is a prayer that I pray every single morning without fail. I have a whole prayer regiment that I go through. Before I ever get out of bed, I have prayed the Lord's Prayer. I was also very, very intent on praying the Jesus Prayer. I'll talk about that more in subsequent broadcasts, but essentially I wrote a book called The Prayer of Jesus. The Prayer of Jesus with Study Guide is one of the resources I wanted to put in your hands. If you read it before, read it again. I just read it again. I love the book. It is one of those books that I wrote in a fairly short period of time, but it has been transformational in my life because the Lord's Prayer, or the Prayer of Jesus, is indeed transformational. But by the time I get to my bathroom, I am getting into another phase of prayer, because in my bathroom, up against the mirror, there is a wooden cross. And on that wooden cross is a prayer. And I pray that prayer every single morning. And sometime last month, I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if other people could get into this exact same habit? And so I thought, perhaps I could get the same cross that I have and send it to everybody for their support. Well, I couldn't find the exact same cross, but I found a facsimile, and on that cross is the prayer that I pray each and every morning. It's the prayer of Saint Ephraim, and it goes like this. I'll make this the quote of the day. O Lord, Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I might see my own faults and not condemn my brother, for you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. I love that prayer. Anyway, in my mind, I had so many people praying that same prayer in the morning as they're starting their day. Of course, to pray is to experience union with God, like a branch united to the vine. And so the Apostle Paul says, anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with the Lord. And that kind of a union is a profound mystery. When we're joined with Christ, we have life. When we are not, we experience a kind of spiritual death. And therefore, saints in the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, that I talk about often on the broadcast, would more gladly experience physical decapitation than spiritual separation. And yet, without the primacy of prayer, spiritual separation is as inevitable as is nighttime following daytime. So in light of the majesty of union with God through prayer, there's a prayer pattern that has been revolutionary in my personal union with God, and part of that involves the prayer of Jesus that I just referenced. Maybe you can recall the scene. The disciples were gathered around Jesus Christ, and there was a sense of urgency sketched on their faces. They had watched him withdraw to secluded places. They had marveled at the serenity in the aftermath of his prayers. They didn't know what caused their master's face to glow, but of one thing they were certain. Whatever it was, they wanted it, and they wanted it now. One of them, well, maybe it was Peter. He assumed the role of spokesman. Impetuously, he blurts out, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And that is precisely what Jesus did. He taught his disciples a prayer that is deftly divided into two parts. The first focused on God's glory. "And therefore we pray, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." The second is focused on our requests. In the words of the great early church ecclesiastical writer Tertullian, "How gracefully has the divine wisdom arranged the order of the prayer so that after things heavenly, that is, after the name of God, the will of God, the kingdom of God, it should give earthly necessities also room for a petition." Following the heavenly petitions, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread. Give us everything necessary to sustain us, body and soul. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who trespass against us." A daily acknowledgement of the infinite price that was paid so that we might be forgiven. And that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The last petition is it's a reminder that God is in control of all things, including the temptations of Satan. While our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour, he is, after all, as has been well said, a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by the Lord. Of course, Jesus made every word count. The prayer he taught his disciples to pray is a treasure of incalculable value. The words beckon those snorkeling with burnt backs to descend into the prayer's glorious depths, because there await unfathomed resources and riches that can scarcely be described to those that are paddling on the surface of the water. And while the prayer of Jesus or the Lord's Prayer must never be regarded as a prayer mantra, it is a prayer manner, beginning with the glorious privilege of addressing the Creator of the universe as Father. And as the days go on, I want to cash out each one of those petitions to get you more of a sense of what's going on when you pray the Lord's Prayer. I think when that's cashed out for you, as I do in the book, The Prayer of Jesus, with the study guide, you will become addicted to that prayer, and that will be one of the most fantastic addictions that you have ever developed. Both resources, the book, The Cross with the Prayer of St. Ephrem, available. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone calls. First up is Erwin, listening in Cloverdale, British Columbia, Canada. K-A-R-I. Hi, Erwin.
Hi. How are you doing, Hank?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I was wondering, I'd like you to speak something about the Brotherhood of Men. Up here in Canada, in Toronto, we have a program called In Context with Lorna Duick. And she had an imam, and she had a rabbi, and she had a pastor on, and they were all talking about the plight of Sri Lanka. And basically, it's the duty of a Christian to have a righteous emotional thought into the world. Because if our emotions aren't righteous, nobody's going to listen. And I'd really like you to talk about this point, because righteousness has no prejudice. And basically, I'd like you to speak about the brotherhood of man, please, and thank you.
Sure. Righteousness has no prejudice, but it is true that Christ has called us to be discerning, which means that we have to discern between that which is true and that which is not true. So Jesus made very plain in the Sermon on the Mount that we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically, but we must make righteous judgments. When you judge, said Jesus, make a right judgment. And so we have to distinguish between the religions, the religion of Islam, for example, Judaism, Christianity. They may have had a similar origin, but they don't have the same content. And so we cannot simply allow ourselves to fall into the malaise of the brotherhood of man. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Perched against Hank Hanegraaff's bathroom mirror is a cross. This cross is engraved with a prayer that has had a profoundly personal impact on him. And Hank feels led by the Holy Spirit to share this prayer-engraved cross with you in the hope that this cross and prayer might become as meaningful to you as it has to him. To receive this prayer-engraved cross for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Peter in Laguna Woods, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank. I'm relatively new going through the Bible, but something I'm trying to resolve is the fact that the prophet Isaiah, several hundred years before Christ was born, obviously, he prophesied about Christ. My question is, how can modern-day Jewish religious leaders and the Jewish people themselves discount what one of their own prophets said as to who the Messiah was?
Well, they take Isaiah 53 and they don't relate it to Jesus Christ specifically. So there's an obfuscation that takes place. But if you allow the magnifying glass for interpretation to be in the hands of the New Testament apostles, you'll see that Matthew makes plain that what is spoken of here and the one in whom this passage of Isaiah is fulfilled is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says this was to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases. So what Matthew does is he specifically and directly points his finger at Isaiah 53. And I should add that the composite picture of crucifixion that is presented here in the Old Testament is graphic and it is gruesome. You look at the language. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So here you have David speaking of what's going on with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah, like David, rivets our gaze on the canvas of crucifixion when he says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." So what you have here is a vivid portrayal of a singular servant of the Lord, which compels identification with the fatal torment of Jesus Christ. Remember, all of the picture is congruent. He's pictured as a tender shoot. He comes out of the stump of Jesse. He's despised and rejected by men. He takes up our infirmities. He carries our sorrows. My point being that I don't have to just glean from Isaiah 53. I can glean from the Old Testament and the entirety of the book of Isaiah as well. And Isaiah says, "For though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." And then he says, "Led like a lamb to the slaughter, the servant of the Lord bore the sin of many, made intercessions for the transgressors." So what Isaiah is doing is foreshadowing the suffering and death of Christ as the aim and the end of all Old Testament sacrifices, the antitype of the sin offering, the trespass offering, the Passover lamb itself, silent before its shearers. So if you're Jewish, you don't see that fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I had a guide in Israel. His name was Yuval Ross, became a good friend of mine. He's a military man, and he's a great guide. And Yuval Ross used to always say to me when we'd have coffee in a cafe somewhere in Jerusalem or wherever we happened to be, Galilee, he'd always say, the difference between you and me is that when Messiah comes, I'm going to say, is this your first trip or your second trip? Well, for him, he believes that Messiah has not yet come. We believe that Jesus Christ has come and he will come again. And we see a clear pattern, a portrayal in the writings of the New Testament that points to the fulfillment not in a nation, not in anyone else, but only in Jesus. He is the only one who can fulfill all of the congruent, the intertwined pieces of the mosaic, from the Psalms of David to the entirety of the book of Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and on it goes.
Thank you for the insight. I appreciate it.
You got it. My pleasure. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Stacy next in Roanoke, Virginia, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Hank. I've been a Christian for a long time, and my question is about cremation. It's starting to sound better to me, and I had someone tell me that that didn't seem very Christ-like because I, we were to be raised again, and my thought, what difference does it make if I'm ash or dirt? I don't think God will have a hard time finding me or collecting me. And I don't want it to be just how I feel. I want to know what the Bible really says about it because I want to be in his will about it.
Well, there's a couple of things, and there's layer upon layer here that has to be uncovered. But I would say, first of all, you're absolutely right. God can resurrect the cremated just like he can resurrect anybody else, someone that's buried. So no problem whatsoever for God to do that. And so cremation is not a death knell to resurrection. However, there's something else that might be interesting, and that is, even when we talk about resurrection or resurrection from ashes or from a body that is buried, we're not of necessity saying that every atom is resuscitated. We're saying that there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. So it's not a necessity that every atom is resuscitated, but there is necessity that there's continuity. So why has the Bible always favored burial over cremation? The reason is that burial is a picture. It is a picture that is poignant and profound. At the point of someone's death, you look at that body, and that picture is of a body that now is dead, but will be alive again. So there's a story in burial. It's not escape from the body, but it's resurrection of that body. So can God resurrect the cremated? Absolutely. But burial points to the resurrection of God. And therefore, Christians have always favored a burial over cremation. In its Eastern worldview or in its Eastern underpinnings, cremation was always the idea of escape from the body. The body was the prison house. So you want to escape it. In Christian theology, no, that's not true. We are going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The soul that leaves at death is going to return to that body. And that body will rise again as Christ rose again. That's the hope of Christianity. And again, burial points to that hope. Now, having said all of that, and it is line upon line and precept upon precept, there are emotional, there are economical, there are ecological considerations that are compelling for Christians. They say, well, because of these considerations, because of the economics of it, because of ecological considerations, so I'm going to get cremated. Well, I say to those people, that's fine. As long as you go to extra lengths with cremation, to point out what's going on. In other words, to make the story that is pictured by burial explicit by communication in the message that surrounds the death of a loved one.
Okay. that makes good sense. I appreciate it, Hank.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I did write about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. That book available to those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our 24/7 outreaches around the world. Do remember the resources that are available to you. I'll be talking about them all this month, Lord willing. The cross that I hope that you will have, maybe in your bathroom, maybe somewhere else, but more than that, just somewhere where you are reminded to pray the prayer of Ephraim. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me your servant a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother. For you are blessed unto the ages of ages. Amen. I have in my mind the hope that many of you will pray that prayer every morning, just as I do, and be more familiar with every single petition in the Lord's Prayer. So when you pray it, it's not just a tradition, but it's a transformation in your life. Check them out on the web at equip.org. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.